Good morning. God bless you this morning. Thank you for the three people who said God bless you back. You know, preachers aren't the only ones who get to bless folks. You know, your blessing is a blessing. Amen? Amen. On behalf of the Board of Servants, the members, the friends, the allies, and the supporters of MCC San Antonio, I bring you greetings from your southern friends. Amen. And I know you join with me as we pray together that Reverend Karen is having a time of rest and renewal and restoration as she prepares to come back with new ideas and new energy and new ways for MCC Austin to be the bright and shining star that it already is. Amen. Please pray with me.
Anointing, fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Anointing, fall on us. Anointing. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on us. Anointing, fall on us. Amen, amen, and amen.
Well, thank you for inviting me to come and be with you this morning. I appreciate it. I know that there's lots of other places you could have been this morning. And if you were in those places, you would probably see many of your friends because that's where they are this morning. But we're glad that you're here. Amen? Amen. I was mentioning this morning that I had to put myself on news timeout. I had gotten to the point where I was yelling back at the television screen. And that's not a healthy thing to do. So I decided that I would just put myself on timeout. Because when we look at the news stories that dominate the headlines and the internet, the situations and events that are unavoidable if we're paying any attention at all, I find many themes that emerge. If you pay attention, you will hear these things running through most of the news coverage. There's lots of anger, lots of intolerance, resentment, and lots of controversy and almost worldwide conflicts. In a world increasingly submerged in ignorance and violence, the discordant calls to hate and injustice echo and resound. So if we are to maintain our sanity and our sense of balance in the world, I believe that we need to seek the light that can illuminate all of this darkness. I believe that we need a glimpse of grace and mercy to remind us of God's eternal goodness and an insistence upon the power of love to overcome all of the hate. Now, I recognize and I realize that hate is a strong word. The energy and destructive force of hate is affecting our world, our nation, and more close to home, some of our churches, and many of our communities. We see this hate manifested in intolerance of others. And they base this intolerance on someone's religion that's different than yours, or their race, or their culture, or their socioeconomic status, their gender identity, and sometimes even their age. You are too old to be doing that. I believe that we are in desperate need for a religious discourse that is based upon the spiritual principle of mercy. In the Gospel of Luke, the 6th chapter and the 36th verse, we have this instruction. It is not a suggestion, it is an instruction. It says, be merciful, even as God is merciful. In the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter and the 7th verse, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. In the book of James, chapter 2, verse 13, it says, for judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. So if you've not shown any mercy, don't expect to receive any mercy. The law says, as you give, so shall you receive. And I don't know about you, but I need all the mercy I can get, so I'm gonna have to give somebody something. So it's pretty clear that we are to be a merciful people. But what exactly does that mean? On my spiritual journey, when I have a question, the first place that I usually go is to the scripture. And after I get through with the scripture, then I head to the dictionary. The dictionary, Mr. Webster, says, mercy is to show compassion and concern for someone who's in difficulty. Now, that would be enough if we show compassion and concern for someone who's in difficulty. But it goes on to say, despite that person's having committed a moral offense. Now, I lost half of y'all that said, well, I'm okay with showing a little bit, but if they've been mean to me, I'm not doing it. But you see, having mercy and showing compassion must involve some act of kindness, some show of concern. Because you see, that's the difference between mercy and pity. Mercy takes action, while pity just says, you know what, I sure do feel sorry for your bad luck. And then they go on with their life as if they are not affected at all by your troubles. In the Jewish tradition, there are 13 different attributes of mercy, 13 different ways that you show mercy. And it's stressed, mercy requires us to live in someone else's skin, to see the issue from their perspective, to see the world through their eyes. Mercy means that you try to understand someone's circumstances by walking in their shoes for a while. Someone told me a story once, and it wasn't particularly spiritual, but I share it because it might resonate with you. It said, walk a mile in somebody else's shoes, because after a while, you're a mile away and you have their shoes. But I'd like to ask you a rhetorical question this morning. That means you don't have to shout out your answer. Where is the mercy when some who self-identify as Christians demonize charity, reject empathy, and forget forgiveness? And all the while, they are bending over backwards to rationalize and pardon their bigotry, their intolerance, and injustice. See, I believe that the capacity for mercy is diminished and too often destroyed by irrational, unjustified hatred and fear of anybody and everybody that you can define as the other. If they don't look like me, walk like me, talk like me, worship like me, then they don't get the benefit of my mercy. Where, my sisters and my brothers, is the mercy? Religion, for many of us, too many of us, has become like medicine. Now, it's a medicine that we have taken all of the active ingredients out of it, and then we refuse to take it on a regular basis, and then we declare to anybody and everybody who asks us, you know, this medicine doesn't work. A new minister was talking to the oldest member of his congregation, and the member said, I'm 90 years old, sir, and I have not an enemy in the world. And the new pastor said, oh, that's great. And the man said, yep, I'm thankful to say I've outlived all of them. See, even if we have worked through our issues and have forgiven everyone that has ever offended us, we've made peace with everyone and everything, I would say that most of us, especially in this room, have folks who consider themselves our enemies. But mercy says that we are to love our enemies. Mercy says that we're to go out of our way to do good things for our enemies and for those who hate us. Now, I don't know about you, but I always wasn't as holy as I am now. And my spiritual past said to me, it would be perfectly fine if I had mercy, but I want them other folks to have justice. It's okay if I skate, but I want them to pay the price. Our human tendency is to defend ourselves and not to try to live in their skin or see things from their perspective. Now, I know I live in the same world you do, so I know this isn't easy. But I believe that it is imperative for our soul that we make the effort. Mercy means that you give generously to those who haven't earned it or deserve it without any hope of repayment. Now, I lost about half of y'all with that. See, it's okay if I give you as soon as I'm gonna get, but the word does not say you are going to receive it from the place that you gave it. The word says if you give it, God will see that you receive it. See, there's a story about a man who was notoriously uncharitable. And one afternoon, this gentleman received a phone call from United Way. I know we always get those solicitation phone calls. And the fundraiser said, you know, in this small town, everybody contributes to the United Way except you. May I ask why you don't want to share in the help each other spirit? And the man replied, well, there's certain problems in my personal life of which you may not be aware. And the solicitor, I didn't know that. And says, like my mother, her Social Security is being cut off. And she's going to be evicted soon. And the telemarketer says, oh, my goodness, I didn't know that. He says, and my kid sister, she has some kind of nasty disease, and she needs a boatload of cash for doctors and medication and surgery. And the telemarketer at this point is having his heart broken. He says, oh, my goodness, I didn't know that. And the man said, so if I don't give them any money, what makes you think I'm going to give you any? See, the way that we view material things says a lot about us. Because I believe that merciful people are generous people. Merciful people try to help those in need. Mercy means that the golden rule is not something that applies to everybody else, but it's something that I try to work into my life every day. Mercy means that when we are confronted with hatred and bigotry and injustice, we respond with peace, understanding, and love, and as much grace as we can manage. And I know it's not easy. It is not easy to be graceful in the face of some of the things that we have to be confronted with on a daily basis. But the word says we are to be merciful even as our loving God is merciful. Because you and I, my sisters and brothers, we are the carriers of God's grace and mercy into the world. The world needs the merciful. The world needs the church to be a haven of grace and mercy, a refuge for those who have been rejected, a source of truth and light instead of hatred and condemnation. We need the merciful. We all need someone who will live in our skin for a while and hear our cry and listen and have empathy and care. We all need someone to help point us toward the light by demonstrating grace and mercy in our lives. And when I am confronted with the weight of having to be merciful in a world that does not always give mercy, it helps me to remember how great God's mercy has been in my life. Now, I know this might be difficult. Well, since most of you don't know me, it might be easier for me to say this, but in San Antonio, they know this. It's possible for me to falter. I know that's a difficult concept. It's possible for me not to get it right. It's possible sometimes for it not to show up the way I intend for it to show up. But I am profoundly secure in my knowledge that God loves us no matter what. God has not worked out a design for our failure. With faith in the eternal, everlasting, and unchanging goodness of God, you and I, right here and right now, can embody mercy. We can be the agents that move humankind forward and upward. When we practice mercy, we become the change that we want to see in the world. We're not waiting for George to do it. We're not waiting for Mary Jane to do it. We're saying, if it's going to be, it is up to me. So we become the recipients of mercy because we are practicing mercy. We receive because the law says, as you give, so shall you receive. So what is it that you're needing this morning that you don't have? My suggestion is whatever it is that you need, start giving some of it. If you're feeling misunderstood, try understanding somebody. If you're feeling alone, reach out to somebody that you haven't talked to for a while. If you feel like you're the only one, look around and say, there is nothing that is common to the human condition that is not common to me. Because when we lovingly and diligently practice mercy, we help make this world a better place for everybody. And I don't know about you, but that's a worthwhile thing to do. It makes it better for all of us, amen? I follow the teachings of Jesus the Christ because in all of his teachings and all of his work, he practiced mercy. Mercy for those who were the downtrodden, mercy for those who were the ignored, mercy for those who needed the healing. But I follow the teachings of Jesus because Jesus is more than wonderful in my life. And in my world, and in my affairs, and in my experience. Amen.
Promised us that he would be a counselor, a loving savior, and the Prince of Peace. It was promised us that he would never leave us, and he would love us with a love that would not cease. Well, I tried him, I found his promises are true. He's everything he said that he would be. The greatest words I know cannot begin to tell just how much Jesus really means to me. For he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's my soul ever longed for. He's everything he promised, and so much more, more than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me. I stand amazed when I think the King of Glory has come to live within the hearts of everyone. It humbles me when I think how much God loves me. When he gave to you and me his only son. And he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul ever longed for. He's everything he promised, and so much more. More than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me. He's everything that my soul ever longed for. He's everything he promised, and so much more. More than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever, ever, ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is. That's what Jesus is. What Jesus is, what Jesus is to me. God bless you this morning.